Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Today I'm going to talk about apples. Now, I know the first thing that popped into your mind is Apple. Right? If you're a loyalist like myself, it's iPhones, iWatches, iPads, iPods, Macs, Steve Jobs, Wozniak, etc., etc., etc. Well, not that Apple. We're not going to talk about that Apple today. We're going to talk about the Apple that says, eat an apple a day to keep the doctor away. Or rather, maybe your competition. I know you're a little confused, but stick with me. I'm going someplace with this. So the big question is, before we talk about the apples I want to talk about, let's talk about apples. Do you know that there are 2,500 varieties of apples grown in the United States? I had no idea. 7,500 varieties of apples are grown throughout the world, but only 100 varieties of apples are grown commercially in the United States. Red Delicious, Gala, Fuji, Granny Smith, my favorite, by the way. I'll take a Granny Smith over anyone. Honey Crisp, I was introduced to that last year. I'd never thought about a Honey Crisp. I see them in the grocery stores, but I never really would pick one up. Crisp Pink, Golden Delicious. The most common, actually, in the world are Red Delicious, Gala, Granny Smith, again, my favorite. Golden Delicious, Lady Baldwin. Never heard of a Lady Baldwin, unless it's Alex's wife. Macintosh, Honeycrisp, Fuji, and a Cortland. Anybody know what a Cortland is? If you do, text me, because I have no idea what a Cortland is. Oh, Paul the Engineer raises his hand. He knows what a Cortland is. I'm going to ask him when this is over. Well, I'm not going to talk about those kinds of apples either. But imagine you're a CEO, a CMO like myself, a CRO, at a new assignment, and your job is to market an apple. Think about it. The competition, the segmentation on taste. Is it sweet? Is it tart? Usages, pies, eat it whole, slice it up, put it on cobbler. How about the audience? Is it an older demographic, a younger demographic? Is it a healthy thing that you're getting in McDonald's with your kids' meal now? What about distribution? How are those apples reaching the market? Big box stores, grocery stores, the guys on the corner putting them in bags, or, which I've done once before, actually go to an apple orchard and pick them myself. There's so many different ways and factors in determining how you could bring this apple to market. Now, these are the kinds of questions, not necessarily about apples, that keep me up at night. Now, if you've listened to the radio show at all, you know I talk about one of the questions I ask all my guests is, when you think about growing your business, what keeps you up at night? Some of the answers I've heard over the last year and some odd months, finances, profitability, sales, marketing, operations, IT security, employee retention, employee acquisition, business planning strategies, customer retention. Now, I did a poll among CEOs in Orange County, and the ones that kind of really resonated and came to the top were finances, sales, business planning and strategies, and customer retention. So we're going to focus a little bit on this planning and strategies aspects. Why? Because that's the area I personally play in when I'm doing fractional work for some of my clients. Now, the question is, if I ask my guests, what keeps you up at night? So I'm going to ask that same question to myself. What keeps me up at night? Now, besides worrying about all the other things, which tend to be more client-focused, for me as a marketer and a business owner, I tend to worry about pipeline. One of the positive and negative things about doing the work that I do is eventually it will end, because I'm a fractional person and I'm not a full-time working as a W-2 employee. So I know it'll eventually end. So I tend to worry about, and what keeps me up at night is about pipeline. Do I get sleepless nights? Sometimes. But how do I deal with that? How do I deal with that pipeline? So I wanted to ask yourself, how would you rate yourself on all those challenges that you have that keep you up at night? Not only how you did in 2019, but we're going to talk about planning for 2020. Are you really ready to compete? How would you rate yourself on some of these questions? All of your employees know what your unique value proposition is and can clearly articulate it with customers and prospects. We always delegate non-essential tasks so I can focus on mission-critical initiatives. We have marketing and sales messaging and collateral that clearly articulates the unique value proposition of our company. We conduct regular employee interviews where we know about the KPIs and the missions that we need to achieve. We have a dedicated time, we dedicate time semi-annually with key stakeholders to develop our business strategies. We have a 3-year strategic roadmap. We conduct the voice of the customer surveys. And again, if you listen to the show, you know that's a big one for me, gathering insights from the marketplace. We have the right employees in the right roles that are performing at optimal levels. Our company culture enables us to retain key employees and attract new ones. And we know who our ideal customer is and can successfully find them, get them, and keep them. So those are about 10 questions that you as a leader in your business or in your business at all, that I want you to think about and how you would rate yourself. The important part then is, as you're preparing and answering those questions, is how you start to frame it up. How do you frame these in developing your strategic plans for 2020? Whether it's marketing, whether it's sales, whether it's operations. And I beg that all of these things are integrated within the programs that you're putting together, right? If you're in marketing, you certainly better be talking to sales and you better be talking to operations. Why? Because if I do a great job in marketing and I drive a lot of lead gen for sales and they do a fantastic job and bring in all this business, well, we better make sure that manufacturing or whatever capacity or services that we can provide, we have the people to fulfill that. So it isn't, we can't work in silos, ladies and gentlemen. You have to work together. This is a team sport. Why sometimes we think it's silo driven and you're the only person in your department doing the things you need to do. At the end of the day, whatever you're doing touches somebody else and has an impact on your business and focus of your organization. So, Angela, what the heck does this have to do with apples? Well, I gave a presentation about a year ago and I created this framework called Apples. So the Apples Strategy Framework, APPLES. And so I'm going to go through this strategy today and hopefully give you some insights and give you a frame of reference to think about when you're getting ready to do your planning work, how the team can work together using this simple strategy. So let's talk about A, right? Audience. Now, the thing about audience is we tend to think of our external audiences, and you absolutely should. Right? It's the voice of the customer, customer-first strategies. If you're not talking to your customers to gather insights on what's going to drive your business and what's going to motivate them to buy your products and services, you're doing yourself a disservice. Hang it up, get down to the beach, enjoy your day, because in the long run, you're not going to survive. You have to understand the needs and wants of your customers. I talk about a story that was Vizio, where it came out with a 3D television. And they were in competition with Sony and Panasonic, and there was a big race right after Avatar. I forget when that, somewhere in the 2000s, everybody was really pushing this. They were first to market. They won, sort of. The TV took off. Sales took off. The early adopters. And then, boom, it plummeted, and it was out of the market. Why? Because what they found is ultimately consumers didn't want to wear those 3D glasses all the time. If they had actually talked to their customers, they might have understood that that was going to be an issue, and they might have been able to solve that. So in this rush to market, and I've seen it so many times with businesses over the years, with this rush to market, we tend to say, I don't have time for market research. I really don't have time. I've got to get out there. What? Now, I'll just build 25 features into my product. I'll answer somebody's. But at the end of the day, maybe you only needed 5, right? So looking at the marketplace, then you really need to understand who your customer is. Observe them. Go out there, meet them, talk to them. And how do you differentiate your services among your competition? Now, the other thing that we tend to forget about is our internal customer. Now, it's a real bugaboo for me that companies that do not talk about their internal customer. Because why? Because those are your employees. Your employees have to understand what's going on in the marketplace and what's going on within your organization, because they are your brand ambassadors. They are the ones that are going to be out there talking about you. And if they have no idea what's going on, sometimes things can go wrong. Back to what I said, if manufacturing doesn't know that marketing's got a big initiative on today, then potentially that's not being addressed, right? And maybe things aren't getting done because they don't know and prepared for all of this. So it's got to be those kinds of conversations. Now, how do you collect some of this customer information? Could be customer interviews, could be on-site customer reviews, could be quantitative studies, could be qualitative studies, it could be your live chats that you're doing and collecting that information, social media behavior, website behaviors, recorded data, online reviews, off-site surveys, net promoter scores, emails. There's so many different ways that you can collect information from your customers and to use that information in developing a program. Now, I talked about employees, and I think that's, again, I want to reiterate that it's so important that you have the culture, and we'll talk about culture in a second, that your employees feel part of the organization, that they understand and can buy in and support and be very strong about what the company's goals and missions are and the value propositions and what you're trying to achieve. Just because they're in accounting doesn't mean they don't need to understand the overall vision of the company. So let's move on to the P in apples, right? APPLES. So when we think about P, I look at perception. So that's the P in the framework is perception. Now, as you're on your road to growth and there's a lot of twists and turns, whether you're marketing and sales, there's a lot of off-ramps in this road to growth. And there's a lot of outside things that can impact you. Competition, technology, the economy, politics can all have an impact on how you're perceived by your customers, by your competitors in the marketplace, but also how you want to be perceived from internally within your organization. So perception is really important. I just finished a survey with one of my new clients and talking to some of their stakeholders, and I asked, what is the perception you hold in the mind of your customers? I interviewed 8 people, and there were pretty much 8 different answers. So you've got to be in alignment as well as you're working towards your framework. So if you understand how you're perceived and how you want to be perceived, it can really help you in shaping your strategies and your messaging. And of course, the company culture. As I said, culture is so important because culture can make or break an organization, right? There's a statement I had here before was mission plus vision plus values equals culture. And who is in charge of culture? Everybody, but it starts at the top and needs to be driven down. So again, company culture and that perception of who we are and who we want to be and how we're perceived is so important, and that is the first P in apples. The second P is product, or in parentheses, service. Now, I like to ask this question, and I find it interesting that a lot of people just can't figure out how to answer it. But the question is, what business are you in? What do you do for your customers? What value do you deliver to separate you from somebody else? But if you really just step back and say, what business are you in, right? I'm a fractional chief marketing officer, but I'm not really in the marketing business. I'm in the business of, for me, helping businesses achieve their long-term goals, both personally and from a professional level. How we get there? I come at it from a marketing standpoint, but overall business, and I understand in working with all the various other departments. My goal is not, in my business, is not to create a website or do something tactically or just learn about the competition. Right? It's all these things that build the foundation to achieve that goal. So I tend to read these because I think it really is a good example when I want you to think about what business you're in. The CEO of Black & Decker once said, people don't go to a DIY store because they need one of our drills. They go because they need a hole in the wall. Think about it. WonderBra and their internal communications to their staff said, we don't sell underwear. We do not sell lingerie. What we sell is self-confidence for women. Harley Davidson's does not sell motorcycles. Might be news to you, but it sells the concept of freedom to middle-aged men. Starbucks understands their business is creating social experience, not just selling coffee. And Nike isn't in the shoe business. Nike's in the business of inspiring athletes and all of us. Now, we know about disruption, and disruption is everywhere. So the question is, are you a disruptor of disruption, or are you in the disruption business, right? We think about Uber, Amazon, Tesla, Airbnb, Dollar Shave Club, Spotify, Dropbox, Netflix, iTunes. These are all disruptive technologies. So you have to understand, as you're looking at the marketplace, I call this market dynamics because you're looking at a lot of different things holistically. Are you a disruptor, or can you be disrupted? And you have to understand this, because let's go back to Netflix, and let's go back to the story of Blockbuster, right? And Redbox, which I didn't even know Redbox was around that long. That because they didn't see the vision, Blockbuster, and actually did not acquire Netflix when they had the chance, the disruption put them out of business. So, again, something else you need to be careful of when you're thinking about your products and services. Are you a disruptor, or can you be disrupted? Now, the L part of the apples is leverage. Now, what is leverage? I liken leverage to the brand itself. Your brand needs to be ownable, leverageable, and sustainable to defend against any competition. Right. So those are the really important aspects of the brand, because I want you to make sure that you can't be displaced or disrupted by your competition. So these, you know, what's your purpose? I call this 4PI. What's my purpose? What's my positioning? What's my promise? What's my personality? And the I is identity. So these are the five aspects that you really need to understand when you're thinking about your brand. So they become really important and areas that you need to spend time addressing. These can't be done in just a matter of minutes. Now, the E in Apple is engagement. So what is engagement? I'm going to go to sales. And I like to look at these three buckets: sell more, sell for more, and sell to more, right? New business is the lifeblood of any business. When I had my advertising agency, that was our mantra. No matter how much business we had, our clients came and went, and we always were on the lookout for new business opportunities, and that's how we grew. So when you think about just a simple strategy of sell more of what you're already making, sell for more, raising prices, that becomes a little more difficult, or sell to more, what you're really looking at is new markets and new opportunities. The sell more is really interesting. In another survey that I did, I asked CEOs, would your clients recommend you to other potential, you know, customers, prospects? The answer was yes. I said, do they know all of the products and services that you sell? And the answer was like 95% said no. So I'm going to venture, and I want you to do this tonight in your homework as you're sitting around your dining room table. Ask yourself, do my customers really understand all the products and services that we sell? And I'm going to bet the answer is no. Right there and then are opportunities for you to go out and drive more revenue without adding anything else to your portfolio. It's already done for you. Okay? So think about that. Now, when we think about the engagement part, we can get into customer journeys and customer personas, and when do you start, what kind of materials and marketing materials do you do when you're in the discovery stage or the awareness building stage, was a blog and webinars and advertising and website and social media, right? If we look at Maslow's hierarchy, right, awareness, interest, consideration, trial, repeat, and rinse and repeat. But every time you move down the journey, the types of information may be different from the way you communicate, and you have to look at them separately. How you use the channels also dictates the kind of information that you can deliver. So understanding at what point in time your potential customers or prospects, where they are in the journey, is going to help dictate the kind of information you need to deliver to them, and also the channels in which to use those to drive engagement. Now, let's talk S, strategy. Now, I couldn't talk about business strategy without actually bringing in the word strategy, could I? So, I love this statement. Planning is essential to ensure your business stays on the road to growth. If you, again, listen to this show, you know I use that term, road to growth, all the time. But if we think about the road to growth, it is rocky, right? It's a if we look at a kind of an elevated mountain, it's you know, there's rocks, there's potholes in your way, things are up and down, you've got crises, you've got problems, you got, you know, tax issues, you got competition, you could have lobbyists against you. There's so many different things going on. But 90% of business leaders claim their company fails to reach their strategic goal due to poor implementation. So I like to say planning is easy, but implementation is extremely hard. And part of that is because businesses just don't spend the time working on their business versus the time they spend working in their business, right? Harvard Business Review, 187 companies, senior executives spend less than 3 days each month working together as a team. And in that time, they devote less than 3 hours to strategic issues. So how do you plan and grow your business if you're not working on it? You're not taking the time to really work to help it grow. I interviewed a bunch of Orange County CEOs here, and the majority of them spend less than 15% of their time working on their business each month. Quick calculations, that's like 1.2 hours per day. Now, you might say that's a lot. I say it's not. So you've really got to spend the time and devote the time to putting the effort into your strategic plan. Now, as my show always goes, I come out at 25 minutes, just about out of time. So I really want to sum this up. So I really take a look at this Apple strategy. Again, audience, perception, product, leverage, engagement, and strategy. And on my website, under eBooks, I have a form there. I'm working on an eBook for this strategy, and you'll be able to go in and send me an email saying, I want this eBook. When it's ready, please let me know. And so, again, I hope you've taken a few notes today and learned a few things. I totally believe in planning and developing this framework was really a goal to help businesses sit, be able to work together with a common framework in which they could all work together, right? So I hope if any of these things that we talked about today are keeping you up tonight, hopefully I've given you a little rest, maybe a little sleeping pill to help you sleep a little better tonight when you think about your business. Thank you for joining me at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or sign up to receive future information and this ebook when it's ready at theponzigroup.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. That's the best way to reach me. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO but not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to invite others to subscribe so they can learn and take advantage of all this great content that my guests are putting out. Thank you. I really appreciate you listening. And join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.